So, it's local news and features on Update Talking News Stoke. It's our final batch now with myself and Teresa, but we're going to have a longer batch with six stories for you. So, the headlines are. And Teresa's headlines first.
Mum's fury as son, six, who can't count to ten, is denied a special school place. Life on New Stoke-on-Trent housing estate is likened to a war zone. A National Student Survey reveals big boost for University of Staffordshire.
And my headlines are quarry banned from starting work before 9 a.m. on Saturday to give prisoners a lie-in. And new statue to honour Stoke-on-Trent women's pottery workers. And two short ones in my final bit, with Staffordshire Country Pub back open as foodie paradise and sports teams lead tribute after death of legend Trigger. So over to Teresa, who's going to do the first story for us in batch seven.
So this is about the little boy who can't count to ten. A frustrated mum has lashed out at the council after her son was refused a special school place. Jaden Thor has severe verbal dyspraxia, meaning he struggles to speak and understand conversation, as well as suspected autism and ADHD, and currently attends Hillside Primary School in Baddeley Green. The six-year-old has also had an education, health and care plan since August, which provides him with specialist one-to-one speech and language support. But mum of three, Suzanne Gibson, fears Jaden's academic and social development will be left stunted by the educational panel decision. She said, "He's a very energetic and hyperactive little boy, and he's mentally behind by about 2 or 3 years. Generally in class, this means that things are very difficult for Jaden. He's 6 years old and he can't even count 1 to 10. He's not able to engage with the lessons like other children. For example, they were doing a lesson on the Fire of London, but he has absolutely no concept of what London is. And when you speak to him about a fire, he'll just stare off into the distance. All he knows is that fires are naughty. But he's expected to sit down and learn something that his mental capacity can't handle. So then he'll just get up and wander about, causing disruptions. He comes away feeling like he's naughty and that's something wrong with him. You can't explain to him that he's just different and needs to learn in a different way. His school started suggesting that we need to look at getting him into specialist school because of his additional needs, and I agreed. So we held a meeting in February where his caseworker from the council agreed that he needed to be in a different setting, but I'd have to apply for the specialist school placements myself. Suzanne of Milton started trying to secure Jaden a special school place, but despite being flexible and willing to travel long distances, she had no success. The 35-year-old added, "I started applying right away for places that would suit Jaden's sensory needs, schools with sensory rooms, with specialisations in speech and language, and which could potentially teach him sign language. Somewhere with a much smaller classroom that could better accommodate his needs, somewhere he won't be left out. The issue is all of the sensory schools are full, but the education panel is able to override that and make a space available for him. But the panel refused and said that he can stay in Hillside Primary School and we can see how it goes. Now Suzanne has been left feeling helpless and frustrated," she said. "It's not fair, and at this rate he's going to go into the big wide world not knowing how to get on in life or mix with others. I'm angry with the education system. Okay, maybe the specialist schools are full, but why isn't more money being made available to create more places? So many children are getting kicked out of mainstream education because their needs are too overwhelming, but then there's nowhere for them to go. It's not acceptable and it's not fair. I just want him to get into a school that can support him. I've taken his case to tribunal now and they've accepted all my documents, but it could take another 12 months until his case gets heard. So it could be a lot longer until we actually start moving forward." Stoke-on-Trent City Council is aware of Suzanne's concerns, and a council spokesman said, We are committed to working with mainstream schools wherever possible to give children the best chance of success in their local community alongside their peers. Evidence shows that when properly supported, children often achieve better outcomes in mainstream settings than they would in specialist provision. We fully consider parental preference and consult with a number of schools in and around the city to find the most suitable setting to meet each child's needs. We continue to support each child's current school to deliver their education, health and care plan with additional funding and specialist input in place where this is required. Isn't that a shame?
So, my next story for you, and first one in batch number 7, is Quarry banned from starting work before 9 a.m. on Saturdays to give prisoners a lie-in. A company has been given the go-ahead to extend a quarry, provided they start work later at weekend so inmates in the nearby prison can have a lie-in. Bosses at HMP Stoke Heath on the Staffordshire border convinced Grundon Sand and Gravel to start after 9 a.m. on Saturday so they don't disturb prisoners' sleep. Lags at the Category C jail are allowed to lie in beyond 7 a.m. on a Saturday, and governors were worried the noisy blasting work would impact their quality of life. Now, councillors have given the thumbs up to the plans after adjustments were made to the application, including limiting its operating hours so not to disturb sleepy inmates. The prison had objected to the original proposals after the firm applied for permission to extend its quarry in Turnhill last August. Cushman and Wakefield, on behalf of HM Prison and Probation Services, the HMPPS, wrote, HMPPS have particular concerns regarding the proposed hours of working on Saturdays, where operations are expected to take place from 7 a.m. in the morning to 1 p.m. in the afternoon. From Monday to Friday, prisoners are woken up at 7:30 a.m. for activities at the establishment, which includes the employment opportunities that some of the prisoners are involved in. On Saturdays, prisoners are permitted to sleep in beyond 7:30 a.m. HMPPS are therefore concerned that prisoners are likely to experience some level of disruption to their sleep from the operations taking place on Saturdays from 7 a.m. and this could potentially impact on their amenity and quality of life. As such, it is respectfully requested that the applicant considers amending the proposed working hours on Saturday to start at a later time of 9 a.m. The company is expecting to extract around 1.2 million tonnes of sand and gravel from the site over a period of 15 years at a rate of around 80,000 tonnes each year. It also outlined plans to use the site as a solar farm while quarrying is underway, partly to provide power for the site, but also to supply electricity back to the grid. The proposal was put before Shropshire's Council's Northern Planning Committee this week, where councillors voted unanimously to grant planning permission as a result of HMPPS's concerns. The quarry will be unable to operate before 9 a.m. on Saturdays, with no operation taking place on Sunday. Approving the plan, the local planning officer said, the proposed sand and gravel quarry represents an appropriate windfall opportunity for the supply of minerals to Shropshire and surrounding areas. The phased design of the site would help to minimise disturbance in the local area. The potential impacts on the local area, which includes an RAF facility, a young offenders institution and dwellings, can be mitigated and minimised to an acceptable level through site management controls, which can be secured by planning conditions. There would be some impacts on the local area due to the nature of the proposal, such as from the visibility of the operation and additional traffic levels. However, it is considered that these will be mitigated to an acceptable level when balanced against the benefits of the proposal. These benefits include the creation of 5 full-time jobs directly with a further 6 part-time in direct positions, a significant level of biodiversity net gain, and the provision of renewable energy from solar panels. HMP Stoke Heath houses prisoners from North Staffordshire, and it's a Category C prison and young offenders institution, which currently holds 734 inmates. Bit of a tongue twister, that one. And over to Teresa now, who's going to do the next story for us in batch seven.
So this is one about the housing estate likened to a war zone. Furious residents living on a new build estate say it resembles a war zone after it was left unfinished for over a year. Families on the Hollington Grange estate in Fegg Hays are demanding developers fix the roads, drains and pavements. Construction on the 150-home estate was due to finish last summer, but a year on and residents are still waiting for developer Keep Moat to complete the job. Residents who paid around £300,000 for their homes also say the estate is dangerous at night due to poor street lighting. Mum of one, Nadja, 31, who moved onto the estate last year, saying she'd been reassured that the estate would be finished within months. The healthcare worker said, "It's been 1 year this month since I moved in and nothing much at all has changed. The pavement works and the playground are the big problems. It's finished now, but it was supposed to be open last year, but it was only finished 2 months ago. The pavement is rocky and unfinished. It's not smooth at all. Our driveway has broken slabs and it's not good for the tyres. You'd think this is something that wouldn't happen a year in." The developers keep sending letters saying they'll fix this and that, but all they do is keep sending them and nothing gets fixed. I've heard from other people that they've had to redo their gardens as they weren't draining when it rained. I know that they spent a few thousand to fix it. We heard a few people had drainage issues up to the road, but luckily we haven't. At one point the street lighting wasn't working and we had to keep paying a maintenance fee. But what am I paying it for if they aren't even on? Only some of them are working. When we first moved in, it was pretty much a building site. Three quarters of the estate was built, but there was still more to be done. It's still a building site now. I moved from London, thought it was a new build estate and that everything would be on top, so it was a surprise to see it not finished. PhD student Charlie Brayson, 25, moved into a two-bedroom house with his girlfriend last year, and he said, "I think it's just the fact that they keep promising and saying that we'll finish it. The park took ages. It seemed like it was done, but it opened for a while. The road was said to be done, but it's not. It sounds like they're saying false promises to appease people. We were one of the last houses to sell, and they knew that all of the houses were done and moved into, and it's still taken ages. I spoke to one of the builders a few weeks ago and they said they'd be doing the paths and starting the road. I normally see about four or five builders every day and I think they're doing the drains at the moment. Last week the road was closed off. If that is happening every week or so, it's going to get a bit annoying. It doesn't look nice either. And when I have people come to see the house and the estate isn't finished, it's not a great look. It's a little bit embarrassing. The estate is the newest bit on the road and it looks bad. Everyone knows houses built today are shoddy compared to decades earlier. Me and my girlfriend both drive and there's one bit with a strip across it filled with gravel. And when people drive over it, the gravel gets moved and there's two massive potholes in it. No one knows when it's actually going to be done. They keep giving dates and it doesn't seem to be the case. We did have a minor thing where they had to sort one of the drains on our driveway. There's a big grate. Our neighbour next door had some issues with plumbing and they had to have maintenance and plumbing come to resolve it. And one of our doors wasn't attached at the hinges, another didn't have a latch on it. The developers say they are working closely with residents and claim the road repairs will be finished in weeks. Peter Barlow, Regional Managing Director at Keep Moat North West, said, "Keep Moat is working closely with residents to address their concerns and has set a timeline for contractors to complete the road improvements within weeks. The play park area has been finished pending final RoSPAR certification and we're consulting with specialists to identify the cause of the reported drainage issues. Keep Motors is committed to creating developments that foster thriving communities, and we will continue to support residents to ensure the improvements at Hollington Grange meet our high standards. Dear, oh dear.
So, next up from me is a new statue to honour Stoke-on-Trent's women pottery workers. A new statue has been planned to celebrate the women who shaped Stoke-on-Trent's world-famous pottery industry. The sculpture will be the first to recognise the role of women who made up nearly half of the workforce across ceramic companies at the start of the 20th century. If the plans go ahead, the artwork will be installed outside Hanley Pottery's Museum and Art Gallery, where the Steel Man statue is currently located. Under the proposal, Steel Man would be loaned to Goodwin PLC, returning to the foundry in Hanley, where it was originally cast almost 50 years ago. In return, Goodwin would fund and commission the new bronze statue. Steel Man was created by artist Colin Melbourne in 1974, commissioned by the Shelton Steel Action Committee. It would remain on public display at its new home, clearly visible from the main road. Plans to commission the statue will go before Stoke-on-Trent City Council's Cabinet on Tuesday, the 22nd of July, which was this week. Council leader Jane Ashworth said, "This is about giving recognition to a part of our history that has too often gone unrecognised. Women were often the backbone of the ceramics industry, decorating and finishing some of the world's finest, most iconic pottery, often without the recognition or pay that men received. For every Clarice Clough or Susie Cooper, there were hundreds of women whose names we don't recognise, but whose skill and labour made this city what it is. This new statue is a proud, permanent tribute to their work and their place in our history. I'm also pleased that there are plans for Steel Man to return home to the foundry where it was originally cast. It's a proud symbol of our industrial heritage, and it will continue to tell the story in a new setting." So over to Teresa, who's going to do her final story for us in batch 7.
Thank you, Tim. So this is the National Student Survey reveals a big boost for the University of Staffordshire. The University of Staffordshire is celebrating this week after achieving a significant uptick in its National Student Survey, the NSS performance. This year's results have allowed the university to jump up 22 places in its sector ranking. More than 357,000 final year higher education students took part in the 2025 survey, roughly 71.5% of those eligible, making it the largest survey of its kind in the country. Students are asked to answer questions across 7 key themes, providing an insightful snapshot into life at any given university. This year, the University of Staffordshire received an improved score in every single area. Overall, an impressive 81.5% of surveyed students said that they felt positive about the university in 2025, and this is up from 77.5% last year. Staff say the achievement reflects university-wide efforts to enhance the student experience and ensure that students feel heard, supported and well prepared for their future careers. Professor Martin Jones, Vice-Chancellor and Chief Executive of the University of Staffordshire, said, "These results are a powerful endorsement of the work we've been doing to put our students first. To see such a significant improvement across all the NSS themes and to have climbed 22 places in the sector shows that our focus on student experience is paying off. We are particularly proud of the results in the academic support, which underline the strength of our teaching community and our commitment to helping every student succeed. This year's performance provides us with a strong foundation as we continue to raise standards and deliver an excellent educational experience. My heartfelt thanks to all involved in this journey of excellence." Professor Raheel Nawaz, Pro Vice Chancellor for Education and Research, added, "We are delighted with the positive outcome of this year's survey, and the increase in our ratings is a reflection of grassroots level efforts across the university. Every single interaction from academic staff to professional services has contributed to this success. I want to thank our staff for their dedication and students for their valuable feedback, which helps us shape our approach to teaching and learning. Right, I'm going to give you some numbers now, so get your thinking heads on and you can work out some of this. If you bear in mind that we went and said they were 357,000 people took part. So here we go. 85.2% felt they reached good academic support. 76.6% felt student voices were recognised by the university. 70.2% felt the university has strong organisation and management. 82.8% felt they received good feedback on assessments. 84.4% felt they received good teaching. And 82.8% felt that they were offered good opportunities. 84.7% felt the university had good learning resources. Any answers you make on that? Just let Tim know what the actual number of students were in any of those cases.
Thank you very much for that. So my final story now in batch 7, well, two shorties. I've got Staffordshire Country Pub back open as foodie paradise to kick off with. And a Staffordshire Country Pub has reopened. Hospitality chain Davenport's has snapped up the Red Lion in Bradley. The boutique collection pub, which has a champagne terrace, is set to be turned into a foodie paradise. It will also have live music on Saturday nights. How exciting. Associate Marketing Director Katie McFilmy said it's a beautiful village and a picture-perfect pub, and the new decor and changes really do enhance that. The foodie offering is incredibly thoughtful and ranges from very generous pub classics to elevated dishes. It comes as Davenport's is continuing to expand its portfolios. Katie added, "We are picking up prestigious awards and opening venues in considered locations across our various portfolios. We focus on what each area needs and then do our very utmost to deliver it. Making a difference, a positive difference in communities is key." And finally, sports teams lead tributes after death of legend Trigger. Sport teams have paid tribute to one of their supporters, Glenn Jones, who was known as Trigger, who has passed away. His funeral takes place later this month. A Kids Grove athletic spokesperson said, "It's with heavy hearts that we share that Grove fan Glenn Jones has peacefully passed away. A true friend to many, Glenn was a kind soul, full of warmth, humour and heart. He'll be deeply missed, but fondly remembered by everyone who had the pleasure of knowing him." Junior teams at Sandyford Cricket Club have paid their own tributes this week. Glenn had represented Sandyford as a player and chairman as well as being an umpire. A club spokesperson said, "Sandyford Cricket Club is absolutely devastated by the death of Glenn Jones. Words cannot describe what Glenn meant to the Ford or what cricket meant to him. Legend is a description bandied around too often. For Glenn, it does not do justice. The Ford will not be the same without him." So that's the end now of batch number 7 of local news and features. A very big thank you to Teresa for reading with me.
Thank you very
much. And we will see you again soon. And I'll be back very, very shortly with the entertainment segments.